It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
All right. Hello, everybody. Hi. Welcome to the Midwest Madness Podcast. I'm your host, Robbie Triano. I had recorded a completely different episode for this. You'll hear it later in the show. But as soon as I hit stop and then thought, you know, everything is fine, some major breaking news has happened in the Big 12 world. And it's the news we thought that was going to happen, happened. Texas has fired Chris Beard. It is official. The school has announced it today. If you've been living under a rock for the past couple of weeks, it's after a felony domestic family violence charge against him from a December 12th incident involving his fiancée, Rodney Terry, has been their interim head coach since then. We've all been asking, when is this going to happen? And you'll actually hear much later in the episode my frustration, because while I was recording the episode, Chris Beard was still the head coach. That's just how crazy this business works. Yep, Chris Beard is out as Texas's head coach. Chris Beard had 5 years left on a seven-year guaranteed contract that included a provision that he could be fired if he was charged with a felony or committed other behavior becoming unbecoming of his position or that reflected poorly on the university. Yeah, there's a reason Texas put that in their clause, not because Chris Beard, they thought he was a bad person, but because of a situation like what happened, and it happened. So Texas did the right thing, in my opinion, and used that clause to fire Chris Beard. I have a lot of things I want to discuss about this. The first thing, I don't care how you feel. If you think you have to wait until the process is over for him to be guilty, not guilty, in order for him to be head coach, this is, I don't care what you think. This is, my take is the correct take, and it's what Texas did. This was 1,000% the right move for Texas. And here's why. You just let the person you gave the keys to run one of the most rich universities, especially athletically, in the entire country, to be in charge of this program. That is, Chris Beard was given the keys and everything to this program. And then he goes and does what no man, what no person should be doing ever in life. And that is assault a person. Now, I understand his wife put out this letter trying to save face, saying, no, it wasn't that bad. No, it happened, okay? You just don't get magically arrested late at night because of something, okay? Something clearly happened, and Chris Beard can no longer have the privilege of coaching at the University of Texas because of that. That is the decision that you make when you do something really stupid. That is the consequence that it comes with. Coaching is a privilege, and Texas made the right move to not let him continue to be doing that. You cannot have that look for your university at all. You can't have someone who was charged with what he was charged with. You can't do that. So this was 1,000% the correct move by Texas. I don't care, you know, if they should have waited long. No, this was the right time. You have a team on the floor that is currently playing, and instead of us focusing about the Texas Longhorns and Marcus Carr and Tyrese Hunter and Timmy Allen and their amazing defense and how they beat Gonzaga early in the year or this amazing environment they are setting at Texas, no. Everything has been focused on Chris Beard and this horrible, horrible situation. Chris Del Conte and Texas did the right thing. Hey, how about we just focus on the basketball? I think that is what is important. And they weren't going to keep Chris Beard. I don't see a world where this would have gone the right way. Where everything is just, you know what? He didn't do anything He goes through all this legal process, goes through everything, and it's just, no, he did nothing. There's no way that was going to happen. Texas did the right thing. Now, this is where I get really frustrated with Chris Beard. Chris Beard, in my opinion, blew the greatest opportunity for a head coach, maybe in all of sports ever. When it comes to college sports, Chris Beard had the greatest situation of all time, and he absolutely blew it. Okay, now follow me. Texas is a school that is very, very, very rich, but it's also a school that has never necessarily prioritized basketball, because why do they need to? They have football. They're basically good in every other sport. They didn't need basketball to be as good. But they have an athletic director in Chris Del Conte who said, you know what, I want to dominate every single sport. I know how important basketball is when it comes to making the University of Texas important to the rest of the country. You want to be great at football, but they have a chance to go to the SEC and be the premier basketball program as well, especially with women's basketball. South Carolina has a conversation to have with that, but hiring Chris Beard was the move to do that. And they have accommodated Chris Beard with everything. They have made the Moody Center. Obviously, it wasn't for him, but because they were making the Moody Center, they were so willing to drop extra cash on Chris Beard to come and be their head coach. They have given him everything there. Money, staff. When it comes to recruiting in the portal or recruiting in general, the NIL money is there. They had made such an amazing investment, and it was supposed to work. Coach K is leaving. Roy Williams is gone. Jay Wright is gone. We're going to see the best coaches that we grew up with gone. That next head coach that could go to that level was Chris Beard. And he was supposed to be doing it at Texas for the next, well, in Chris Del Conte's eyes, the next 10 to 15 years. That will no longer happen. Chris Beard had everything and still managed to blank it up. Oh, I actually want to swear here. He had every chance to it up. That is such a ridiculous thing that that has happened. There are so few times in life where everyone has everything but still managed to mess it up. And Chris Beard did. And should Chris Beard ever coach again? If he is proven not guilty, sure. If he's proven guilty, there's no way in hell. Well, first of all, he'll be going to jail, so that's not good. But there's no way a coach or a university would ever hire someone like that. But if he's not guilty, I don't see him in the Power Five for the next 5-10 years. This really could just be the end of Chris Beard's coaching career in general. You just don't do this and necessarily get away with it, or be able to go into anybody's living room and sell why they should listen to you, or why you are a good mentor to an 18 to 21 year old whose brain isn't necessarily developed, and these parents are trusting you to be this kind of mentor or this person that can lead them through some hard times in their lives, and you're just you'll be convicted or arrested as a domestic abuser. I mean, coaching is a privilege. I would love to quit this job and be able to, with my basketball mind or whatever I have, be able to coach people. Because so many people in the world want the job that Chris Beard has. He blew it. Now, what does this exactly mean for this year? Because the Texas Longhorns are a good basketball team. No, they're not good. They're really good. 12-2 on the year. They're 1-2 right now in Big 12 conference play, but they have some amazing pieces. Marcus Carr has been amazing. Tyrese Hunter, coming from Iowa State, who's just kind of been this bucket getter for them. Serge Ibari Rice is one of the most fun players to watch in this entire league when it comes to like his ability to just be that six man. He is so fun to watch. Timmy Allen is a joy. This team can make a deep run, But without Chris Beard, what exactly is this team going to look like? How different is it going to be under Rodney Terry? Chris Beard is a fiery head coach, but he was able to get the best out of any of his players. He was so good at that. He was demanding, but also gained their respect. He was so good at getting the fans involved as well to make that environment what it is. We saw what he did at Texas Tech, and earlier this year, we saw what the Moody Center could be. That place was electric. What is it now? Are fans going to want to come to this game, come to any home games to support this team? Obviously, it's not the team who did what Chris Beard did, but it feels like Texas basketball seems a little icky right now to most people. Now, will that impact what is actually happening on the court? I don't know. Rodney Terry does have the experience, head coaching experience, needed to take this team and have a good run. I don't think this is a national title contending team, but this is a team that could go, let's say, to the Sweet 16. I think their ceiling is an Elite 8 team now. They have the talent. Will Rodney Terry be the Steve Fisher of Michigan? I'm not sure, but the talent is there. And now it thinks, like, can Rodney Terry get this job? And that's why, if I was him, this is your audition, but you know that you're probably not going to get it at the end, so you have to do everything in your power to get it. And if you make a Final Four, if you make the national title game, if you win the Big 12 and go deep, Rodney Terry should be the head coach at Texas. Like, if you earn that through all of the rigmarole and all of the clouds hanging over Texas, and you pull this team together and do that, and his ability to recruit, and if he's still able to recruit and keep the recruits that were going to Texas, Rodney Terry should 100% be the head coach. But from what everything I'm hearing around the league from sources, from people, it is not looking like Rodney Terry's job. So who exactly should take over for Chris Beard? And I wrote this down. Who should fill in? Everybody. Texas should be getting everybody and anybody. That head coach will make the most money they have made as a head coach if they go to Texas. You get a situation where now there is a clear investment on basketball when it comes to your arena and making sure you get the talent needed to compete at the highest level. You're going to the SEC, which is not as good as a basketball conference as the Big 12. You are guaranteed more success at Texas when it comes to basketball than ever right now, than ever. Who are you, like, your competition in the SEC is, you have Kentucky, you have Arkansas, you have Alabama, okay? And then some teams that are feisty but are not like the Oklahoma States, where it's just like a bottom team in the Big 12, but will punch you in the face every single night. Texas is an amazing job to me, so my potential target is anybody. Name a head coach right now who is either young or proven, Texas should go after them. Coach Cal, go after. Musselman, go after. Nate Oates, go after him. Hell, we were talking on Big 12 Radio with Jeff Goodman, and he said the number one target that they should be calling at Texas is Jerome Tang. Call him. Any head coach who is proven and has talent, call him. That's what Texas should be doing. Hey, we have wads of cash. What Chris Beard does, what Chris Beard did, does not necessarily impact the University of Texas basketball moving forward. They made a hire. He did a terrible thing. It had nothing to do with their basketball program. It wasn't like he was cheating or did this violation when it came to, like, while he was working, did something. It's not like he punched a coach on the court. He did something completely separate from his life. The University of Texas did this thing to get rid of him. It's not going to tarnish the Texas basketball program forever. So it's not like these coaches are walking into a terrible situation. And it's not like really you have big shoes to fill. It's not like you were John Shire replacing Coach K. You were replacing a basically rental coach there for a year and some change. Something bad happened. This program can still be yours. is a great job to be the head coach at the University of Texas. And, yeah, Chris Beard fired today. We all expected it. I'm happy that it's finally over. Will we see if Chris Beard, you know, does something and actually, like, sues the University of Texas for doing this? And another note that I read that was really, really, really interesting. So, University of Texas released a letter to Beard's lawyer in which the school's VP of Legal Affairs wrote some kind of damning things and kind of revealed a lot here. So I'll read this to you. My call to you as Mr. Beard's lawyer was a courtesy to let you know that Athletic Director Chris Del Conte was prepared to start the termination process of Mr. Beard, that Mr. Del Conte was calling Mr. Beard that morning, that there was only a short window open for Mr. Beard to resign should he choose to avoid termination. The university does not have a preference for his resignation versus his termination. Chris Del Conte was basically saying, you can step down on your own terms. You will not have this you being fired thing hanging over you. And also, you could have a chance financially to make some of the money, because if we fire you, you get none of it. We use the clause to dismiss that. And then this statement was also said, and that kind of proved that, you know, Texas did the right thing. Additionally, your letter this morning reveals that Mr. Beard does not understand the significance of the behavior he knows he engaged in, or the ensuing events that impair his ability to effectively lead our program. This lack of self-awareness is yet another failure of judgment that makes Mr. Beard unfit to serve as head coach at our university. For these reasons, the university proceeds to terminate Mr. Beard. Chris Beard just fumbled everything. Like, that is really the moral of this story, if there is a moral in a terrible moral situation. Chris Beard messed up. He gets fired. We all move on. Texas is going to move on. The Big 12 is still going to keep humming without Texas. Texas is still a great program. They're not defined by Chris Beard. Yes, it sucks to be losing one of the best coaches, or one of the best future head coaches in all of college sports, but life goes on. Texas is going to be fine. Chris Beard is not. That's all I got to say about that. And with that, let's return to what I initially had planned, and that was recapping what I've seen so far in conference play. Here we go. Hello! Hello, everybody! Hello! Welcome to the Midwest Madness Podcast, tackling all things Big 12 hoops here. I'm your host, Robbie Triano. Welcome in if this is your first time listening. It's a pleasure. And you tune in at the perfect time. Do you want to know why you tuned in at the perfect time? It's conference play, baby. We're here. You went through the non-conference season that you probably didn't care that much about, but you probably built way too much optimism about your team. And now it is time to actually either have your feelings validated or have your heart broken, because the Big 12 conference play is here. We are in full effect. Every team has played two games so far. It has been a fun watch for a lot. It's been some bad for a lot of teams here. But what we are learning as we head into this conference play, Big 12, shocker, gauntlet. Out of the top 37 teams in KenPom, right now, all 10 Big 12 teams are in there. It's time to take whatever medicine you need to take to handle your anxiety, whatever you are going to feel during this Big 12 season, but it's an absolute pleasure to talk about it. Football season is basically over. I'm here. It's 2023. New year, new vibes. My resolution is to be better at giving you guys content that you deserve. I'm happy football season's over. I can give my full attention to this because there's a lot of awesome things I want to talk about today. I want to talk about the good things I'm seeing in the conference so far as we have our quick glimpse into conference play. And I want to talk about some of the bad things I'm seeing so far, some things that are really puzzling me as well. I want to hit on who has had the best year so far so you know who exactly to watch for this season if you've somehow had your head buried in the sand and haven't been paying attention to Big 12 basketball. It's okay. I will teach you. We will teach you here in the Midwest Madness Podcast. And then I want to end talking about a very terrible decision that may be happening that we need to come together and try to ride around. But with this show, I want to talk about the good things about the conference, but I have to lead with this because we're just coming off this loss, and I have to talk about this team because it's time to hit the panic button. It's time to hit the panic button for the Baylor Bears. They just come off an 88-87 loss to TCU. TCU is a good team. I will give it to them. Mike Miles, he may not have the stats right now. Well, currently he's second in points per game. But Mike Miles is an absolute bucket. So a loss to TCU is not, I don't know, it's not the end of the world. But there are some signs of the Baylor Bears where I am just kind of puzzled a little bit. Because this team, they lose 88-87. Obviously, comes to a late clutch basket by TCU. But the fears I've had about Baylor this whole year are actually happening. Great offensive team. Unbelievable. Some of the best guard play in the entire league. But when it comes to defense, it's not pretty. And in this league, each team really has a true scorer. Last year, you could play Oklahoma and be fine. This year, you have to play great defense. Every team is competent. Every team seemingly has great guard play. Baylor cannot keep doing this, and now they are 0-2 in conference play. And looking at that first game against Iowa State, Baylor only scored 62 points. Now, if Baylor plays a team with a good defense and a subpar offense, I'm not very high on this team. Right now for Baylor, like, the reason I'm hitting this panic button is because this is a team coming into the season we all thought maybe a national contender, national title contender. I do not see that right now. You will make the tournament. There is no doubt in my mind the Baylor Bears are going to turn some things around and make the tournament. But your first two games, you lose to Iowa State and TCU. That's not Kansas. That's not Texas this year. TCU is a top four team, but Iowa State is a team that my ceiling for them is like last year. I think at best, Iowa State can be a Sweet 16 team. And that's best case. If we talk about the ceiling of Iowa State. And we look at the stats for Baylor. We go to KenPom. Right now, they're currently 16th in the country in offense. Okay, that's good. But when it comes to defense, they are ranked 62nd. 62nd. That's bad. Like, that's bad. Like, there's no other way to put it. That's one of the worst in the league. And if you call yourself a national contender, you can't do that. And Baylor just doesn't really have the pieces yet or who have emerged to play that type of defense. You are small at the guard position who is mostly, like, scoring friendly. You don't have a true big who is, like, this lockdown player. You have Flo Thamba who's playing, like, 20 minutes a game. You don't have anyone off the bench to give you that defense. Seems like everyone on the bench is somewhat defensive heavy or offensive heavy. And you don't have the versatility that you had in years past. For me, I'm looking at the Baylor Bears. I am skeptical about this team moving forward. Will be a tournament team, but I do not see them going to be a team that is fighting for a Big 12 title this year. Scott Drew is one hell of a coach, so I will give him faith for that. But for now, oh boy, every Baylor fan should be worried. And one part why they may be worried is their assistant coach left them last year. And now he goes to a new destination. That's Jerome Tang, ladies and gentlemen. The good things I want to talk about, and maybe the best story, no, not maybe, the best story in the Big 12 basketball hoop slate this year is the Kansas State Wildcats. There's no way about it. Coming off a year with Bruce Weber where they don't even make the tournament, they bring in Jerome Tang. It looks like so much, you know, it looks like the air was out of the bag for Kansas State. It just seemed like a deflated program last year with Bruce Weber. Like, Bruce Weber had success with Kansas State. But at the end, you could just tell, like, things were flat. The fans didn't necessarily care. Things are changing in Manhattan, Kansas, and Jerome Tang has assembled just an incredible team. Some things were left over from Bruce Weber. I will give him credit. But the best thing that Kansas State has done was get Keontae Johnson, who has been, in my mind, a first-team All-Big 12 player, one of the best players in the entire league. Oh, yeah, and then you have Marquise Noel as well, being this dime-dropper, score-filler-upper. And then it was all very evident when they played the Texas Longhorns and had 116 points.
What?
One more time, 116 points.
What?
That is an NBA level of scoring for this team. And, like, you're playing Texas. I understand no Chris Beard. Texas is still a very good team. Texas, with Chris Beard, heralded themselves on really good defense. 116 points. I mean, that's just not a fluke. Those type of performances are not flukes. Those type of performances are just fact. Kansas State is really good right now. Fun fact about that 116 points, that is the most points ever scored in a regulation road win over an AP top 10 team. Kansas State is not a fluke right now, and right now they're 2-0 in conference play, and they are just a really well-balanced athletic team. I've talked about Marquise Noel. He's currently just dominating with the ball. He scored 36 points against Texas. Keontae Johnson, 28. And we talked to Jerome Tang yesterday on my day job, Big 12 Radio. And there was a lot of faith about this team. He really expressed how well things are working. But also, they aren't getting too high on their own supply. Players and fans can get real high on this drug I call in sports. It's called hopium. You get a little bit of hope. You start getting inflated. Your ego gets a little better. Your humbleness goes out the door. Kansas State is playing humbled. He wanted to make sure that this team does not overinflate themselves at all. That's what he was telling to us. He wants them to know exactly who they are. They're a good team, but they cannot let what happened yesterday define them. And I really think they're doing a good job at that. They're currently, I can't believe it, 13-1. They're the best story in the Big 12 right now. It's not close. What Jerome Tang is doing is literally putting himself on the map as one of the best coaches in the Big 12 just this early. Now, am I getting too high in the hopium supply? Am I reaching too much for Kansas State? No. I honestly believe in our hierarchy of the Big 12, for me, the top is Kansas. I think Kansas is the best team in this league. I think Kansas is a national title contender. They have the talent all around. They have the best player in the country, in my opinion, in Jalen Wilson. Jalen Wilson has been phenomenal this year, and the stats show it. He leads the league in scoring and a lot of other things. He's been fantastic. But right now, there's no other team you could say that is better than Kansas State, than Kansas. Kansas State, to me, is the second best team in this league, and that is just such an amazing shock. Everyone in Manhattan hearing this, I hope, just took another drink of that whiskey that somehow is like made in your town or whatever it is. Kansas State is really good. It's one of the best stories in the league. Moving forward, though, I mean, they won. They're 2-0 in conference play. You beat West Virginia and Texas, two teams that are very good. West Virginia is kind of reeling a little bit, but Texas is a really good team. Now, the real test is the team we talked about earlier. Now, Kansas State has a real showdown on the road at Baylor. Baylor can fill it up. We know that. Baylor's a great offensive team. This is, in my opinion, not the first real test, but now you come off a road win where you just had this major performance, a high. Will we see a letdown against Baylor? Will we see this continue to go? I don't think this is a fluke by Kansas State. I'm high on this team right now, so I want to watch Kansas State. Also, Jerome Tang returned to Baylor. Kind of sneaky, underrated. Another good thing in the conference and a team that I just talked about is the Kansas Jayhawks. I mean, that game against Texas Tech, so many emotions being played. Kevin McCullough getting booed so hard by the Texas Tech fans, which, in my opinion, so deserved. I think if you leave your school and go to a somewhat rival, you should get booed relentlessly. And I think that's what we're going to see more and more from the transfer portal, is players like that happening to. Like if, like in football, if you're a football fan, Trace Ford just left Oklahoma State to go to Oklahoma. The next time he played, he should get booed relentlessly. But in this game, Kansas wins 75-72. They had a long lead for the bit. Texas Tech kept fighting back. There were some calls, missed calls. I know Fran Fraschilla and John Schiambi was not irate, but really pointing out what exactly happened. But that was a win for Kansas. Whatever goes their ways, this is what happens. Some things just go the Kansas Jayhawks' way, and there's not much you can really do about it. It just happens. I don't know what curse Bill Self put on. I don't know if it's just the logo. Some things go their way, but still, that is impressive. You go into a very hostile environment in Lubbock, Texas. You go when they are extra hostile to scream and yell at Kevin McCullough, and you come out with a win. And this team, to me, I'm seeing another level with one player specifically, and that's KJ Adams Jr. 14 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 block, 1 steal. He is just a player who can now prove to play a lot of minutes, but also kind of fill it up. He's one I just thought he was just going to be the glue guy, the person who just gets the hustle points, gets the rebounds, you know, run. No, dude, this guy is athletic. He is a hammer. He has had the ability to fill it up, score inside. He's doing it at an amazing clip right now, currently doing 66% field goal percentage. He's just been an absolute beast for them, a well-needed player, because we know how Bill Self wants to use his center. He's not that prototypical guy. I think he is what modern basketball center should kind of be. He can rotate on a lot of different positions defensively. He is fast. He is quick. He can do a lot of different things. I love watching him play. But then all around, they are just, this team is so balanced in a lot of different ways. Jalen Wilson has just proven to be incredible. Dewan Harris Jr., who is just becoming, if he can continue his ability to shoot, he is one of the best point guards in all of college basketball. He's not going to be a high-round draft pick. Hell, he may not even play NBA minutes. But my God, this guy is so good at creating the tempo. He is so good defensively. He is that leader, that calm force on this team that they need if Jalen Wilson can't score and they want to create plays. He is so damn good. And if he can go 5-for-5 from three-point in any other game, man, Kansas is going to be really good. Grady Dick, really good. Kevin McCullough hasn't even played very well, but you know in the later stretch of Big 12 play how important it is for him to be there defensively. He can fill it up if he needs to, and he's been through this gauntlet of the Big 12. Experience matters. His experience is very experienced. That man is good. I love watching the Kansas Jayhawks right now. They're currently my favorite team in the Big 12 when it comes to who I think is going to actually make a deep run in March. Bill Self is going to do it again. But I want to talk about the Texas Tech team for a second, because that's a team I was kind of high on, you know, heading into the year. They're currently 0-2 in conference play. They're 10-4. Things have not necessarily clicked as well as I thought they would so far. But we're starting to see some pieces really emerge for this team. And the number one piece is Pop Isaacs. He's been an absolute joy to watch over the past couple of games against Kansas, 18 points, against TCU, 17 points. He's just been starting to finally find his groove as his freshman guard for Texas Tech. He's been an absolute beast. Kevin O'Banner, this player, I knew he could do this. And now that he's getting the chance, currently averaging 16.5 points per game, over more than he's adding 6 points on from last year. He's been really good. He's a good 3-and-D type of guy, and he seems to finally find his three-point stroke, hitting 37%, 53% from the field. Kevin O'Banner has been really good. I like watching Daniel Bacho play. He's this long type of huge center forward person. I don't know what exactly happened with his injury at the end of the Kansas game. I'm still keeping my eye on Texas Tech. I am high on them, but the conference standings do not go in their favor, 0-2. Let's look at the rest of the conference standings as well. Kansas 2-0, Kansas State 2-0, TCU 2-0, and then Iowa State 2-0. Iowa State, to me, is a really, really intriguing team. Very well coached. I don't know if this team necessarily has, like, star power, but what they do defensively is just incredible. According to KenPom, 9th best in the league. They're 104th in offense. 104th. I mean, that's a telltale sign that defense can win you championships. Iowa State needs to prove more on the offensive side. I think they would like to do that as well. But according to KenPom, the best ranked defensive team in the Big 12. And them and Kansas are very close. Kansas is 9th. But, oh my God, Iowa State proving defense can win in this league. I'm looking at that team. I'm skeptical. So skeptical. You have to be able to score. That's why I think their ceiling is so limited. But that is a lock for a tournament team. I don't think they can win the Big 12 title, but I think they're a top 5 team right now in the Big 12. Texas, 1-1. I have no idea what to do with Texas. They have the talent. But until we get some form of clarity on Chris Beard, which, in my opinion, now that it's just been this long. Hey, you know what? Let's have this conversation. Texas, what are you doing? Chris Beard, this thing has happened almost a month ago. Hello? I know there's some legal issues you have to work through. I know you can't technically... No, you can fire him right now. When is this situation going to get better? Oh, his wife gave a letter saying it wasn't that bad. You got arrested. You bit someone. You choked someone. And you're the leader of a university's basketball team, one of the biggest in the whole country. Texas, you can still have success without Chris Beard. That is possible. He is a great head coach. You have to make a decision soon. This is just a dark cloud, one of the darkest clouds right now in all of college sports, hanging over your program. What are you doing? Like, you are in such wait-and-see mode, and it seems like you're going to be waiting for weeks, months. We don't know when this is going to get finalized. We don't know when this is going to happen. What are you doing? Like, what is happening, Texas and Chris Beard? For me, if I was Chris Del Conte, I understand there may be some legal ramifications. I'm making a decision. Chris Beard, you're not my head coach anymore. I have to give this team some sort of, there's no way for me, for Texas, if this even gets resolved, that Chris Beard still has is still a head coach. All right, Chris Beard walks into a 5-star recruiting room. The mom asks, "Hey, didn't you you did get arrested for, you know, hitting your wife or fiance or whatever? Like, why should I give my kid to you?" That will just be a dark cloud that will always hang over him. And I don't know if Texas really wants those problems. Texas wants a lot of problems because they hire some people that are a little problematic. You don't want this problem. Yeah, I would ditch this. Oklahoma State, who had maybe the roughest non-conference slate, even though they are 9-5 right now, 1-1, good win over West Virginia for Oklahoma State. West Virginia, to me, is a sneaky good team. I think they have the players. That's a good win over Oklahoma State. And defensively, one of the best teams in the Big 12 as well. In fact, number 3, according to KenPom, and number 14 in the whole country. Thing is, they need to shoot some three-pointers well. You play two big men, I'm going to say all year, systematically does not make sense. Defensively, if you just want to have that as your identity, go right ahead. It's not proving it in wins right now. Will they do it in conference play? I trust Mike Boynton. He is an amazing person. I trust that. Let's see if it works. Baylor, 0-2 in the conference. We talked about them. I'm worried. Panic button pressed. Texas Tech, 0-2. Talked about them. Optimistic, but not a great start for them. And then the two teams who were 0-2 are teams that I thought would be 0-2 heading into the season. Oklahoma, to me, you just lose to Iowa State. I want to have faith. I want to have faith in every team in this league just because I know that, like, if Oklahoma honestly was in the SEC right now, they would be a better team than they are right now. If they were in any other conference, I think they would show their true colors as a good team. They are a good team, a well-coached team with talent. Well, they're not exactly the best talent in the league, but they have players like Grant Sherfield. They have Tanner Groves. They have Jalen Hill as this glue guy who honestly needs to step it up a little bit. They have players who can fill it up, but in a league where someone has to lose, Oklahoma is proving to be that team. I don't see a way that, you know, could they be a tournament team? Yes. The ceiling for Oklahoma, though, is a tournament team with a first-round exit. That's, to me, their ceiling, if it, at all. And I know the magic that you know, Porter Moser does in March Madness. I don't see it this year. And last is West Virginia. I mean, a team that, they're so confusing to me. Like, West Virginia is the most confusing team in this whole league, because in non-conference play, you get high on their supply. 0-2 in the conference, and their losses are to Kansas State and Oklahoma State. Kansas State, good. Good team. Oklahoma State, they are a bottom five team in this league. And the road is not getting any easier for West Virginia. They play Kansas, and they play Baylor at home their next 2 days. Next 2 games. They are at home, but, man, the very confusing team. I like their pieces. I think Eric Stevenson is a beast, even though getting a Tech with him and Marcus Smart, very, very weird situation there. So that's my thoughts on the Big 12 season so far when it comes to conference play. I am so pumped for the rest of the season to be happening. My favorite players in the league, though, I think two of them have, like, if I'm to fill, okay, let's do it right now. If I was to fill my first team, all Big 12, I'm going Jalen Wilson at the forward position. I'm going Mike Miles at the guard. Keontae Johnson for sure for Kansas State. He has been maybe the best story when it comes to a player in all of college basketball, having this health scare, going to Kansas State, and immediately having success. That's amazing. Marquise Noel. I can't believe Kansas State has two players right now on my team. 8.5 assists per game. He's been a beast. And when it comes to who gets that last spot, oh, man. I would have to give it to Marcus Carr for Texas. I think he's been very good at the guard spot, but then I look at my team. My center is going to be Jalen Wilson if I were to be constructing a team right now. So if I were to truly want to make a team, I'm taking Musa Cisse for Oklahoma State. Guy's a beast. Guy is an absolute beast. 2.7 blocks per game. He's good. So those are my key players right now. There are so many others that we're going to see throughout this league. I want to give credit to Grant Sherfield, Kevin O'Banner, Keontae George for Baylor, who dominated against TCU, but the rest of the team did not fill it up. Those are my early thoughts of the Big 12 so far. And the last thing I want to hit on, March Madness expanding to 90 teams, that may be happening. No, I Can we just stop? Stop! Stop! There are some things in sports that should just never be touched. Ever. Ever. Don't touch it. Just keep it where it is. It's good. You don't have to mess with it at all. You want to mess with the college football playoff? Go right ahead. Expand that. You want to mess with the NFL playoffs? Sure. Don't care. You want to talk about, you know, should we have improved draft odds when it comes to the lottery for every sports? Go right ahead. One thing you do not touch is the NCAA tournament. 68 teams. Keep it. It's great. We don't need more. We don't need watered down content when it comes to some of these basketball teams. We want more basketball. Like people say, we want more basketball. No, you don't. Oh, cool. We get to gamble on this. No. Keep it. Earn it. 68 is so many teams. Why do we have to get more and watered down product? Keep it. It is so good at what it is. I understand these people want more TV money. They want to make more money for college basketball so they can somewhat have a chance of competing with the money of football. Dude, why do we need more? Who is asking for this? The executives are. That is who is asking for it. But some things are just sacred. Keep it. Keep it. And by the end of the tournament, it's still going to be the same teams. But keep it. I do not see why anyone would care or be this. Who wants this? If you were to poll every college basketball fan, who exactly wants this? Nobody. For the love of God, just keep it the way it is. 68 teams is how it should be. It's how God intended it to be. All right. Whew. We have a lot of important games this weekend in the Big 12. Let's talk about that real quick before we head off for this show. So Saturday, January 7th, full slate of Big 12 basketball games. I love it. This time of the year is the absolute best. The absolute best. I love Big 12. Oh, I'm pumped. I wouldn't say the slate is juicy. There's really one game that we should be focusing on. It is Kansas State-Baylor. Jerome Tang returned to Baylor. We talked to him on Big 12 Radio on Sirius XM. He says he doesn't know what his emotions are going to be, so I'm looking forward to that. But also, I think two teams that are in different places, but still very, very good. Kansas State, great season so far. Baylor, it could be better. Will this be the game where Kansas State cements themselves as the true, very good team in the Big 12 that can compete for a Big 12 title? Or Baylor punch back and say, no, 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 we're still here. I'm looking at that game. Next game I'm excited for, Kansas taking on West Virginia in Morgantown. Bill Self, Bob Huggins, always a treat for those two. But West Virginia, I think, is a better team than what they've shown so far. And Kansas right now coming off another road game, are they going to be tired? Are they going to be gassed? Do they have what it takes? I think they do. I think Kansas takes care of that one. Next one I'm also very looking forward to, TCU, Iowa State. Iowa State, we talk about, very good defensively. TCU is a team that can also play defense, but a team that cannot shoot the basketball very well. Right now, TCU is 19th in offense, according to KenPom, and 65th in offense. You have to do more than just give the ball to Mike Miles and let him work. If that's how you win, fine. But I think Mike Miles is going to get shut down a little bit in this game. I'm going to take Iowa State here on the road in Fort Worth. Next game I'm looking forward to, number 6 Texas taking on Oklahoma State. This is just a game for Oklahoma State. If they can get a win here, big. That's big for momentum. They'll be 2-1 in conference play, 10-5 overall with a win over West Virginia and Texas. That's good. And Texas, still a very good team right now, 12-2. On the year. They need this win badly after what was just a ridiculous performance against Kansas State. You score 103 points and lose, you can't play defense worse than that. And last one, the game that you may be able to skip, Oklahoma taking on Texas Tech. Those are two teams right now, 0-2 in the conference. Oklahoma, to me, is the snooze fest of the Big 12. Texas Tech needs to find the rhythm. And there you go. Big 12 basketball is fully here. It has been an absolute pleasure. I will be doing more of this. I've been kind of, not lazy, but life has been crazy. Thanksgiving, football season, Christmas. Expect this moving forward For the Midwest Madness Podcast, I'm Robbie. We're out. Peace.
Sports Social Podcast Network.